Red Apple Media is proud to celebrate 100 years as one of America's most influential radio stations and New York's first. WABC. And WLIR-FM, Hampton Bays.
The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
All right, good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, December 1st. I'm Juliet Huddy. Frank, as you just heard, is out for a few weeks on paternity leave. He and his wife had a baby on Thanksgiving, little Carmine Williams, so congratulations to them. We have traffic and weather on the 7s coming up, but first, here are the big stories making headlines this morning.
This is the Top 5 at 5.
Wow. Explosive documents released by the New York Attorney General's office reveals that the brother of disgraced former Governor Andrew Cuomo played a secret role in the sexual misconduct allegations. Chris Cuomo suspended by CNN indefinitely. When the news broke, though, the CNN anchor didn't even mention it.
All right, I'm Chris Cuomo. Welcome to primetime. Happy Hanukkah to my Jewish brothers and sisters. Enjoy night two of the Festival of Lights. And I hope Thanksgiving was a reminder for everybody of the good people and the good things in your life.
Well, in a statement, CNN says the New York Attorney General's office released transcripts and exhibits Monday that shed new light on Chris Cuomo's involvement with his brother's defense, adding the documents, which CNN bosses hadn't seen, raised serious questions. And is inflation here to stay? Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell told a Senate Banking Committee that inflation is not transitory, meaning that it will not be going away anytime soon.
So I think the word transitory has different meanings to different people. To many, it carries a sense of short-lived. We tend to use it to mean that it won't leave a permanent mark in the form of higher inflation. I think it's probably a good time to retire that word and try to explain more clearly what we mean.
He was joined by Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, who says the economy is on track despite the new COVID variant. Meantime, stocks did take a major tumble after yesterday's announcement. The Dow Jones dropping more than 500 points, the S&P plummeting sharply too. A group of media companies trying to gain access to some legal documents relating to the January 6th attack on Capitol Hill. CNN, ABC, NBC, and The Washington Post, The New York Times, and Wall Street Journal all filing a legal brief in support of former Trump advisor Steve Bannon's fight against an order that bars him from publicizing certain January 6th information and documents. The media cabal arguing the order violates the First Amendment. And a jury found Kyle Rittenhouse may not have been guilty, but that didn't stop Arizona State University from kicking him out. A group of students say they felt threatened by the idea of Rittenhouse on campus. Rittenhouse recently told Fox News' Tucker Carlson that he was defending himself when he killed two men and wounded another during the Kenosha riots.
It wasn't Kyle Rittenhouse on trial in Wisconsin. It was the right to self-defense on trial.
Right.
And if I was convicted, no one would ever be privileged to defend their life against attackers.
With just 4 weeks in office left, New York City officials announced that the Big Apple will be opening up injection sites so drug users can legally shoot up while being supervised. And when I say 4 weeks in office left, that is actually Bill de Blasio, the mayor. Sam Rivera is the executive director of On Point.
Our goal is when someone shows up, they have access to many, many options they wouldn't have in the street, and then get connected to care and other services that are life-changing.
Last year, over 2,000 New Yorkers died of drug overdoses. That's the highest since the city started tracking figures. Other cities, including Philadelphia, San Francisco, Boston, and Seattle, have taken steps towards supervised injection, but have actually yet to make the decision to open the sites. WABC News time is 5:04. Those are your top five at 5:30. Coming up, we have traffic and weather, and we have lots more local news, including the new Omicron variant. It was apparently in Europe earlier than we previously thought. This is really interesting. In fact, it may not have originated in South Africa at all, according to officials in the Netherlands. We're going to tell you a little bit more about this later in the hour. But so far, the new Omicron super strain, as it's being called, has popped up in at least 30 countries now, 20 countries now. And officials say it's only a matter of time before we detect it here in the States. Meantime, if you're planning on heading to Europe or maybe South America or really even to the next state, listen up. The World Health Organization warning certain Americans to avoid traveling. The announcement Tuesday directed at at-risk groups, including people 60 and over and those with pre-existing health conditions. There is, however, some positive news. I know it doesn't seem like it, but there is. It's about that COVID pill that we've been telling you about. An FDA panel of U.S. medical experts Tuesday gave the A-OK for the Merck pill. If the FDA approves it, it would be the first pill that infected patients could take home to treat the virus. And it was a somewhat narrow vote of 13 to 10 by this panel, the panel ruling that the benefits of the medication far outweigh the risks. And there are risks, including possible birth defects in pregnant women. It would be recommended to at-risk adults with mild to moderate COVID, including older people and those who suffer from things like asthma and obesity. And most of the experts agree it should not be used by vaccinated patients, which is interesting. The FDA expected to make its decision by the end of the year. Meantime, a federal judge in Louisiana has issued a nationwide preliminary injunction against the vaccine mandate for healthcare workers. The ruling blocks an emergency regulation by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services that required vaccines for nearly every full and part-time employee, including volunteers and contractors. Louisiana was joined in the lawsuit by attorneys general in 13 other states. WABC News time is 5:07. Let's head over to traffic on the 7s with Joe Nolan. Good morning, Joseph. You there, Joe? Joe? All right. I guess we don't have Joe with us. We'll check back in a little bit. Do we have him, Matt? I can't hear Matt. So let's just move on right now and we'll get back to Joe as soon as we can. It is now day three in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. Wow. Yesterday was really, really interesting. Jeffrey Epstein's former private jet pilot took the stand. Larry Vysotsky worked for the billionaire for nearly three decades. He says the cockpit door was always shut. And he actually never saw any sexual activity on the flights and, quote, most certainly not with underage women. In fact, the pilot says he never noticed any girls who looked younger than 20. And he says the relationship between Maxwell and Epstein was more personal than business. Experts say the defense will continue to paint the duo's victims as money-grabbing actresses. And Vysotsky also riveting the jury with tales of some of the famous faces who joined Epstein on various trips over the years, including former presidents Clinton and Trump, actor Kevin Spacey, comedian Chris Tucker, and Prince Andrew of Britain. Also, the first victim took the stand. She's only known by the name Jane. She says she was 14 when she was brought into the alleged pedophile's realm and says Ghislaine Maxwell not only orchestrated her meetings with Epstein, but she took part in some of the abuse against Jane herself, at times instructing Jane on how Epstein likes to be touched. The jury reportedly rapt during that testimony. WABC News time is 5:08. Let's head on to some other news. This was a horrible story. Three students are dead, at least eight people injured in a school shooting yesterday in Michigan. It happened just before 1 o'clock in the afternoon at Oxford High School. That's about an hour north of Detroit. Police arresting the shooter, identified as a 15-year-old sophomore at the school. The sheriff's office said the suspect used a 9mm Sig Sauer pistol, which was actually bought by his dad just a week earlier. And he is reportedly, according to police, not cooperating. Killed in the school shooting were Tate Meyer, he's just 16 years old, Hannah St. Juliana, 14 years old, and 17-year-old Madison Baldwin. Another girl, 18-year-old, is on a ventilator. And there is video, and it is really disturbing, to say the least. It shows kids hiding in a classroom as the terror spree unfolds.
Sheriff's office.
That was not the sheriff's officer. If you heard him, he was saying, sheriff's office, open up, it's safe. That was not the officer. It was reportedly the gunman himself trying to trick the students to come out. Some of them realizing it wasn't the actual sheriff's department when the person said, hey, bro. So they ended up jumping out a window. President Biden addressing the tragedy, saying that his heart goes out to the families of the victims. And in a sudden turn of events, Donald Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, has decided to cooperate with the House January 6th committee investigating the riots at the U.S. Capitol. Meadows deciding not to risk being slapped with criminal contempt charges. At issue is former President Trump's stand in court that he should be able to declare executive privilege over sensitive information. Former Trump political strategist Steve Bannon has already been indicted for contempt of Congress for failure to appear and provide records to the committee. WABC News time is 5:10. Coming up, another TV star running for office. But first, some interesting news out of Europe. It looks like the countries that the United States and the UK have banned might want to reconsider opening up to these countries again and doing away with these travel bans. Dutch officials announcing Tuesday that they believe Omicron was in the Netherlands before South Africa alerted the world about it. In fact, officials say they found the new strain in samples dating back to November 19th. South Africa first reported it to the UN Health Agency on the 24th. At least 70 countries and territories have now imposed travel restrictions as part against parts of Africa following the discovery of the new variant. Switzerland says travelers arriving from Canada and other countries will be required starting Wednesday to present both a negative COVID test and quarantine for 10 days. And just a reminder, as we told you at the top of the hour, the World Health Organization is urging people 60 and over and those with pre-existing conditions to avoid travel. Here's the thing, though. Dr. Angelique Coetzee, who first discovered the variant in South Africa, and she was the person credited with raising the alarm and bringing the information to officials down in South Africa, she says the restrictions are an overreaction. And as we told you at the top of the hour, stocks taking a tumble after the CEO of Moderna said Tuesday that it may take a while before the company can come up with a new vaccine to fight Omicron. Stefan Bensel warning the world that the current jabs may not be as effective against the new super strain. Experts blaming the unusual number of mutations in the Omicron variant. Scientists say it'll take another 10 days or so to figure out exactly how well the vaccines measure up. Ronald Reagan, Donald Trump, Dr. Oz. Yep, the celebrity heart surgeon and host of the Dr. Oz show announcing he is running for U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania needs a conservative who will put America first, one who can reignite our divine spark, we fight for freedom and tell it like it is. That's why I'm running for Senate.
The 61-year-old Republican brings his star power to what experts say is a pretty wide open race that could determine control of the Senate next year. WABC News time is 5:12. On to international news now. The relationship between the U.S. and Russia becoming more fraught by the day. As the former Cold War enemy builds up troops on the Ukraine border, U.S. officials are issuing a warning. Secretary of State Antony Blinken making the comments during a joint press conference with Latvia's foreign minister in Riga Tuesday.
Soundbite 5. Our commitment to Baltic security and to Article 5. An attack on one is an attack on all. Is ironclad.
Blinken warning of serious consequences if Russia invades Ukraine. Talks among Europe's foreign ministers about this situation and about other things, including the Omicron variant, will continue today. And meantime, Belarus dictator Alexander Lukashenko says he'll ask Russia's Vladimir Putin for nuclear weapons if the West continues to cross Putin's so-called red lines. Putin has sent nearly 100,000 troops to the frontier with Ukraine. He claims it's because he's worried about NATO troops, and he says he has no intention of invading. And one of the top officials at Space Force warning American officials about the increasingly prevalent attacks on U.S. satellites, not only by Russia, but by China as well. General David Thompson says the two nations are hitting the United States every single day with lasers, radio jammers, and cyber attacks in what he calls a shadow space war. Thompson says the U.S. is still number one in terms of capability, but China, at least, is catching up really fast. Also concerning, Russian capability when it comes to artificial intelligence. U.S. officials say Russia is creating a sort of minority report type of AI that could do some pretty wild things like predicting riots and protests. Officials there say the software will likely be rolled out in 2022. It's the latest move by the Kremlin to crack down on dissent. And another Space Force officer issuing a warning about China's new hypersonic weapon. Lieutenant General Chance Saltzman says it uses some type of glider that allows it to stay orbiting in space for a period of time. And it also may even be capable of launching its own weapons. Well, as we recover from all that pleasant news, let's take a trip down to beautiful Barbados. As I told you earlier this week, the country, the island actually, has officially extricated itself from Great Britain, removing Queen Elizabeth II as its head of state to become the world's newest republic. In an overnight ceremony in the capital, Bridgetown, Dame Sandra Mason was sworn in as president. And it was an all-star cast joining the revelry, including Prince Charles and Barbadian singer Rihanna. The event, which coincided with the country's 55th anniversary of independence, in a speech, Prince Charles acknowledged the, quote, appalling atrocity of slavery the Caribbean island suffered. WABC News time is 5:15. Let's get over to sports now with Luke. Sorry, Matt Sapienza. I didn't realize you were back. And welcome back. Hope you're feeling great. That is Matt Sapienza with the Sports Desk. WABC News time 5:17. Let's head over to Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7s.
All right, Julianne.
Hi, Joe.
As we begin to travel southbound on the Jersey Turnpike, that outer roadway closed. Again, the overnight road work, that continues. Brooklyn-bound Verrazano, the lower level, also overnight road work. That also continues. Coming inbound on Long Island Expressway, we're actually in pretty good shape this morning. You really don't have too much of a problem. Mass transit's good, and alternate side-of-the-street parking rules and regulations, once again today, going to be in effect. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joe. Good to hear your voice again. Let's take a look at the weather from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. We're looking at about 47 degrees today for a high. Now, we actually may see some sun popping out. I know I keep saying that, but it definitely looks like it's a strong possibility, although we will see some clouds as well. Tonight, we're looking at cloudy skies early. Then we'll have on and off rain showers overnight with a low of 41 degrees. On Thursday, we're jumping up to 55 degrees. Now, yesterday, I told you it would be a little bit warmer than that, but we're looking at probably 55 degrees with cloudy skies, maybe a chance of a rain shower. Thursday night, 43 degrees. Clouds continue to kind of roll in. But by Friday, it's actually looking pretty nice. We get lots of sun with a few cloudy intervals, but not too bad, with the temperatures cooling off a bit to 45 degrees for a high. And the weekend's actually looking pretty much the same. Sun, clouds with highs about, we're not going to get probably past about 47 degrees, and that's going to be on Saturday. We'll cool down on Sunday to about 42 degrees for a high. WABC News time is 5:18. Lawmakers are hustling to get a vote in to avoid a government shutdown. The funding runs out Friday at midnight. The House could vote as early as today for a stopgap measure that would extend money through the end of January and really buy the Democrats some time to pass an important defense bill, raise the debt ceiling, and pass President Biden's Build Back Better bill. WABC News time is 5:19. Coming up, officials on Long Island worried about a possible terror attack. This is alarming. We're going to explain in a moment. But first, the wife of infamous drug lord El Chapo is heading to the big house, and we don't mean one of the couple's blood money mansions. A federal judge on Tuesday sentencing Emma Coronel Ispuro to 3 years in prison and 48 months of supervised release. The 32-year-old pleaded guilty earlier this year to helping out her husband run his cartel. The prosecutor calling her a cog in a very large wheel of a criminal organization. And the trial for the man accused of fabricating a racist attack continues today. Yesterday, an investigator from Chicago's police department took the stand. Detective Michael Thies said Jussie Smollett was treated like the victim of a hate crime at first. But when the actor refused to give a DNA swab and became uncooperative, Thies says he knew there was a problem. Smollett is charged with 6 counts of disorderly conduct and lying to police for allegedly staging the attack. He could face prison, but experts say he'll most likely be given probation. And the NYPD is looking for 3 teenage girls who attacked Jewish children and teens in a Brooklyn spree over the weekend. The victims' ages ranged from 3 to 18. They were all apparently wearing Jewish attire when they were attacked. In one instance, the attackers smacked a three-year-old in the face.
We have one thing to do, waiting and pray, working peacefully.
So if you have any information, you are asked to call police. WABC News Time 520. The MTA is getting a slap on the wrists. Its multi-million dollar program to stop its employees from abusing overtime is reportedly failing. According to the latest IG's review, the agency is simply too antiquated, and that's resulting in cash grab scams that are costing the city and taxpayers millions. Out to Long Island now, and a warning to some North Shore hospital patients. I actually happen to be one of these people. Change your passwords just to be safe. Officials at Huntington Hospital there in Huntington announcing a data breach. Some 13,000 patients being notified that their names, birthdays, addresses, and medical record numbers were snooped on. Apparently, a night shift worker was able to somehow access records. He wasn't supposed to access these types of records. Happened between October 2018 and February 2019. Thankfully, no social security numbers, credit card, or insurance information was accessed. The person has since been fired and charged with a HIPAA violation. The hospital is offering victims a free year of identity theft protection services. And staying on Long Island, the FBI now joining the hunt for the person or people who detonated an explosive on a tiny uninhabited island off Long Island's South Shore over the weekend. It happened Sunday around 11 a.m. on Fox Island, which is just off the coast of Lindenhurst. People as far away as Huntington said they felt the rattle. Officials now worried it could be a rehearsal for a terror attack. Suffolk, Nassau, and other authorities asking anyone with information to call police, and particularly if you noticed a striped boat about 23 feet long leaving the area of the detonation that morning. This crater that they actually blew up, it was about 4 feet wide and 2 feet deep. So it is alarming officials. Again, if you have any information, please call police. Well, the nation's largest socialist organization blasting one of their own members, the Democratic Socialists of America, want to kick out New York Congressman Jamal Bowman. They're angry over Bowman's recent trip to Israel, which they called Zionist propaganda. WABC News Time is 5:23. Has some disappointing news from Regeneron. The pharma company says its popular COVID antibody treatment may not be as effective against the Omicron variant. Officials say they'll need a little bit more time to figure out the new strain's impact on the treatment. Monoclonal antibody treatments are considered kind of the gold standard when it comes to treating patients who have already been infected. And if you happen to be traveling through JFK, you may notice it. The CDC announcing Tuesday that they are on the hunt for the Omicron variant. Dr. Rochelle Walensky says they'll be expanding the express check testing services at 4 of the nation's busiest airports, including Atlanta's Hartsfield, Newark, San Francisco, and JFK. Well, I will be later on today. And over in Greece, officials are expanding a vaccine mandate, but only for people over the age of 60. If they don't comply, they'll have to fork over $114 a month, that is, in fines starting next year. The government is hoping to tamp down a surge in daily infections. It's really high right now there. About a quarter of the country's population still isn't vaccinated. WABC News time is 5:24. Coming up, CNN suspends one of its biggest stars, but some say the company has not gone far enough. But first, we have an update for you on the Wisconsin Christmas parade tragedy. More information about the suspect, Darryl Brooks. Turns out court records show the career criminal was also a deadbeat dad to the tune of $40,000. And he actually evaded jail time for a third time just days before he plowed into a group of people at the annual Waukesha Christmas Parade. Records show he should have spent 120 days in jail, but he wriggled out of that on the condition that he pay at least some of the money that he owed, which, of course, he failed to do. And an update now on the laundry situation, the Gabby Petito death. The family of the man accused of killing Gabby Petito is selling their home. Brian Laundrie's parents, Chris and Roberta, putting a sign up on their lawn, a for sale sign, just days after word that their son had committed suicide by shooting himself. WABC News time 5:25. Congress's female firebrands continue to live up to their monikers. Just days after the GOP's Lauren Boebert battled via telephone with the squad's Ilhan Omar, another Republican took off her gloves, but this time she's going after one of her own. Marjorie Taylor Greene calling South Carolina Representative Nancy Mace trash. Now, Nancy Mace is a Republican, as is Marjorie Taylor Greene. Boebert, by the way, was caught on video recently making what many felt was a racist joke about Omar, who is Muslim. And some felt that that was really against all Muslims. Mace condemned the racist tropes and disgusting comments. She said that was those were her quotes. She says, I condemn these racist tropes and disgusting comments on both sides of the aisle. And that comment prompted Green to tweet, Nancy Mace is the trash in the GOP conference. Mace says the abuse from both the right and the left against her has gotten so badly recently that she has been forced to carry a gun. And if you're feeling like being surrounded by non-like-minded people is kind of the way of your life these days, maybe it's time to move. A new survey found more Americans will vote with their moving trucks this year. Redfin finding Americans are more and more looking at the political ideology of a state or a city or a town than ever before, especially now that the pandemic has lit a fuse for folks looking to work from home. The company says as the country becomes more polarized, red states will get redder, blue states will get bluer. WABC News time 5:27. Let's head over to traffic on the sevens with Joe Nolan. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Juliet. We've got a problem southbound on the 287 coming down to exit 21, which is right by 78. Apparently, an overturned tractor trailer. So the right lane is going to be out of service southbound on 287. That would be in Bedminster. If you're coming inbound on the LIE at Queens Boulevard, a crash. One lane out of service. Brooklyn bound for us on a lower level. There's overnight road work there. Jersey Turnpike southbound. The outer roadway closed with that overnight road work. And then the inner roadway getting off at 13. There is an accident as well. Transit Authority delays on the A, the D, the N, the R, and the number one train. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations today are in effect. This report is service of Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield. Empire Blue Cross and Blue Shield, the heart of America, are helping schools across the country increase their access to healthy food. Learn more, empireblue.com/NYLiberty. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the Sevens, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you very much, Joseph. Yep. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're looking at a mix of sun and clouds today. It looks like we actually will see some sun. It's not going to stick around all day, but we should have a little bit of brightness in our lives today with a high of 47 degrees. Tonight, we'll have cloudy skies early and then probably on and off rain showers through much of the night, starting overnight. Low of 41. On Thursday, we're going to be jumping up into the mid-50s. We'll actually have 55, and cloudy skies also may have a chance of a rain shower. And on Thursday night, things start to clear a little bit. By Friday, things are looking sunny, but also a bit chillier. We're going to jump from 55 on Thursday to 45 on Friday. But again, we will have some sunshine and some cloudy intervals there. Friday, going down to 36 degrees Friday night. And we will see a few clouds over the weekend and some sun popping out with lows in the 40s and highs in the upper 40s. WABC News time is 5:29. You know, it's been very stressful for a lot of folks these days, whether it's whatever, the Omicron variant. You know, you're dealing with drama at work. You're dealing with housing problems. Whatever it is, life's daily stresses can take a definite toll on our appearance. Don't I know it? That is the ethos at Dolce Aesthetics New York. They provide a wide range of services, everything from Botox and fillers to cellulite reduction. They do the regular things. They do, you know, skin care like facials and all that kind of business. But they also kind of go a little bit deeper. They do sculpting and molding, body molding. They do butt lift treatments. I'm curious about that. And basically, the choices there are endless. It's a matter of choosing the procedures that are right for you. And the great thing about Dolce Aesthetics is I love Jen. She's the queen bee over there. And if you go over, you'll sit down with her and she'll kind of just listen to you and tell you what she thinks that you need. She doesn't try to push a bunch of things on you. That's one of the reasons that I love her. And the other great thing is that they have locations all over the place. They have locations in Howard Beach, Glendale, Brooklyn, and now Oceanside. So all of you Long Islanders, just head over to Oceanside and you can really just lay back. Jen will take care of everything and her wonderful workers there. If you're ready to experience prime results, just text the word Dolce to 95,000 for 10% off of your next treatment. That's a nice deal. You can visit them at DolceAestheticsNY.com. That's D-O-L-C-E, AestheticsNY.com.
Get the new book from David Bahnsen, There's No Free Lunch. Wherever fine books are sold, and the reviews are in, someone trustworthy said, David's book mixes the old and the new, the classical and the modern, and does so in a readable way that teaches readers what they need to know about economics. No matter what you've been taught or what you think you believe, your understanding of economics will benefit and expand by reading this superb book. That trustworthy someone is me, Larry Kudlow. So get the new book from David Bahnsen. There's No Free Lunch wherever fine books are sold.
Nearly 100 years of broadcasting excellence.
WJZ New York.
On May 1st, 1953, WJZ became WABC.
Celebrating 100 years.
WABC Talk Radio.
WABC AM emerged as the station with the most improved ratings in New York.
Join us as we celebrate 100 years.
W77 ABC.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much. WABC News time is 5:32. If you're just tuning in, it is Wednesday, December 1st. Frank is out for a few weeks. He's on paternity leave. He and Rachel had a baby on Thanksgiving, little Carmine Williams. So congratulations to them. We have traffic and weather on the sevens coming up with Joe Nolan. But first, here are the big stories making headlines this morning.
It's the top five at 5:30.
Explosive documents released by the New York Attorney General's office reveals that the brother of former Governor Andrew Cuomo played a secret role in the sexual misconduct allegations against the governor. But he did try to downplay it. And that has led to CNN suspending Chris Cuomo indefinitely. When the news broke, the CNN anchor didn't even mention it.
All right, I'm Chris Cuomo. Welcome to primetime. Happy Hanukkah to my Jewish brothers and sisters. Enjoy night two of the Festival of Lights. And I hope Thanksgiving was a reminder for everybody of the good people and the good things in your life.
In a statement, CNN said the New York Attorney General's office released transcripts and exhibits Monday that shed new light on Chris Cuomo's involvement in his brother's defense. And they added, the documents, which CNN bosses hadn't seen, raised serious questions. Is inflation here to stay? Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell told a Senate Banking Committee that inflation is not transitory, meaning that it will not be going away anytime soon.
I think the word transitory has different meanings to different people. To many, it carries a sense of short-lived. We tend to use it to mean that it won't leave a permanent mark in the form of higher inflation. I think it's probably a good time to retire that word and try to explain more clearly what we mean.
He was joined by Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, who says the economy is on track despite the variant. Meantime, stocks tumbled after yesterday's announcement, the Dow Jones dropping more than 500 points, the S&P plummeting sharply. A group of media companies trying to gain access to some legal documents relating to the January 6th attack on Capitol Hill. CNN, ABC, NBC, and The Washington Post, New York Times, and Wall Street Journal all filing a legal brief in support of former Trump advisor Steve Bannon's fight against an order that bars him from publicizing certain January 6th information and documents. The media cabal arguing the order violates the First Amendment. And a jury found Kyle Rittenhouse may have been, a jury found that Kyle Rittenhouse was not guilty, but that didn't stop Arizona State from allegedly kicking him out. A group of students said that they felt threatened by the idea of Rittenhouse on campus. He recently told Fox News' Tucker Carlson that he was defending himself when he killed two men and wounded another during the Kenosha riots.
It wasn't Kyle Rittenhouse on trial in Wisconsin. It was the right to self-defense on trial.
Right.
And if I was convicted, no one would ever be privileged to defend their life against attackers.
With just 4 weeks on office left, Mayor Bill de Blasio announcing yesterday that the Big Apple is going to be opening up injection sites so users, drug users, can legally shoot up things like heroin and other illegal drugs while being supervised. Sam Rivera is the executive director of On Point New York.
Our goal is when someone shows up, they have access to many, many options they wouldn't have in the street, and then can get connected to care and other services that that are life-changing.
Last year, over 2,000 New Yorkers died of drug overdoses. That's the highest since the city started tracking figures. Other cities, including Philadelphia, San Francisco, Boston, and Seattle, have taken steps towards supervised injection sites, but they have actually yet to open any. And those are your top five at 5:30. We have a lot of news to get to, and we will continue on. We also have Sid joining us a little bit later on to tell us what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show. And we have more on the Chris Cuomo situation. But first, good news. If you're thinking we need that, geez, lately it's just been one nightmare after another. But we have some good news. If you're thinking about selling your home, U.S. housing prices skyrocketed in September, 19.1%. That's compared to the previous year. The record-setting rise boosting the housing market. Phoenix was the nation's hottest town with a 33% increase. Wow. Tampa came in at number two with 28%. Miami following that at 25%. Experts point to low mortgage rates, a large supply of homes on the market, and pent-up demand from consumers locked in during lockdown. So here's a question. Why are the shelves at some of our favorite retailers so empty? Well, that is the question the FTC wants answers to. The Federal Trade Commission demanding nine major retailers, including Amazon and Walmart, fess up about why they're unable to deliver. The companies need to explain basically what's leading up to bottlenecks and shortages and anti-competitive practices that the feds say are exacerbating inflation. The global supply chain was severely impacted, as you know, with the onset of the COVID pandemic, primarily because of orders stalling and cancellations related to grounded travel and other logistical delays. WABC News Time 5:37, Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7s.
All right, Julia, we have problems on 287 southbound coming into I-78, an overturned tractor trailer. That's in the right lane. Also, you've got delays on the Jersey Turnpike southbound, the inner roadway, Interchange 13. That off-ramp is closed for an accident. And then outbound at the Lincoln Tunnel, again, a missing manhole cover, the left lane out of service. So that will be probably for a little while at least. Now, coming inbound Long Island Expressway, we're very slow now from Main Street in through Queens Boulevard. An accident with one lane out southbound on the Connecticut Turnpike at exit 5. A disabled right lane. Transit authority delays on the A and the N, and alternate side of the street parking rules are in effect. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, sir. Yep. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we'll have a mix of sun and clouds today and a high of 47 degrees. Tonight, prepare for some rain. We'll have some clouds early on and then on and off rain showers overnight. It doesn't look like any snow because we're only going to be, at around 41 degrees for a low. Tomorrow, we're looking at cloudy skies and 55 degrees. It's definitely warming up. There is a slight chance of rain on Thursday. And on Friday, We should see some sunshine finally with some cloudy intervals, but the temperatures are definitely going to drop down. We're going to go from 55 on Thursday to 45 for a high on Friday. And over the weekend, we should be in the mid-40s, mid to low 40s during the day with a mix of sun and clouds. Currently, the temperature in New York City is 34 degrees. WABC News, time is 5:39. Tiger Woods speaking publicly about his golfing future for the first time since his car crash earlier this year. He says his full-time golf days are long gone. And we told you earlier, CNN suspending one of their biggest anchors indefinitely. But now calls are growing for the permanent firing of Chris Cuomo. Cuomo is accused of lying about his involvement in his brother's sexual harassment scandal. Earlier this week, the New York Attorney General released texts and audio that made it pretty clear that the primetime host was actively advising embattled Governor Andrew Cuomo, his big brother. What's more, the younger Cuomo was also being accused of using his media creds to dig up dirt on one of the accusers. Now, many, including former View host Meghan McCain, are calling on CNN boss Jeff Zucker to fire the anchor, accusing him of crossing a line of journalistic ethics. On his Sirius XM radio show yesterday, it was interesting. Cuomo said, quote, Andrew, meaning his brother Andrew Cuomo, the former governor, had his party enforcing a rule against him that if you have accusations, you have problems, and you don't really get to vet the accusations, you don't really get to go against your accusers. He continued on saying that the game has rules, and one is that you can fight the media, but only if your party supports you. He did not address or take responsibility for his own actions. Meantime, the woman who sparked the flame that lit up the scandal in the first place is also speaking out. Lindsay Boylan ripping Cuomo for his alleged involvement in protecting his big brother. And she didn't stop there. Boylan also blasting CNN's chief media correspondent, Brian Stelter, who initially defended Cuomo. Boylan tweeting, "It's almost as if a whole system is set up to protect powerful men from accountability." And we do know that there are a lot of people who are calling for Cuomo's permanent ouster. But we know one person who is not down for kicking Cuomo to the curb.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you, brother.
I know you had a great Thanksgiving. I hope you did. I missed you. I am grateful for your friendship and your love. I think that you are fantastic. One of the kindest people I know on this planet.
Oh, can you feel the love? That is CNN's Don Lemon, of course, doing his nightly handoff to the next show, which happens to be Cuomo's. Some viewers did not feel the love, however. Folks on social media slamming the duo for ignoring the elephant in the room. WABC News time is 5:41. One California mayor is walking back her support of police defunding. Oakland Mayor Libby Scharf says she will reverse plans to cut back on the police budget, pointing to a spike in violence and murders. The move follows the shooting death of a cop and a one-year-old over the weekend. And former President Donald Trump thinks he has the solution to the nation's recent smash-and-grab sprees. Call in the Guard. No, not mall security, but the National Guard. Over the past few weeks, packs of thieves have busted into stores across the country, overwhelming store workers and grabbing anything they can get their hands on. In one case, 40 thugs stormed a Louis Vuitton store in San Francisco, making off with more than $1 million in merchandise. The crimes come amid the controversial defund the police trend that's making its way across some of the nation's Democratic-led cities. And a pageant organizer turned celebrity makeup artist is once again spilling the tea on a former president. Jill Harth claims she got to know both Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein back in the 90s when she and her then husband were working the pageant circuit. Harth claims the two would hit on women, with Epstein being the wingman. She also says Trump knew about the late pedo's penchant for underage girls but didn't care. Harth filed her own lawsuit against Trump in 1997, accusing him of attempted rape. But it was later dropped, and the two became friends again. But their relationship soured again after Trump called his accusers liars. That led to abuse and death threats, she says, from hardcore Trumpers. Now, she says she's speaking out again as a way of supporting Epstein's alleged victims. And Senator Rand Paul, not happy with being called out by the nation's top doc. The Kentucky Republican blasting Dr. Anthony Fauci over an interview Fauci did recently with CBS. Fauci referred to his critics, including Paul, as anti-science. Well, Paul shot back, accusing Fauci of acting as though he's, quote, some great and powerful Oz. So Dr. Fauci, Yeah, he's been called a lot of things recently, but this one might take the cake. Fox Nation host Lara Logan on Tuesday compared him to an infamous Nazi doctor.
What you see on Dr. Fauci, this is what people say to me, that he doesn't represent science to them. He represents Joseph Mengele, Dr. Joseph Mengele, the Nazi doctor who did experiments on Jews during the Second World War and in the concentration camps. And I am talking about people all across the world are saying this.
Social media lighting up, many, including officials at the Auschwitz Memorial, slamming Logan for exploiting real victims of the Holocaust and on the second night of Hanukkah, no less. WABC News Time 5:44, Parag Agrawal officially took the reins of Twitter, replacing CEO and founder Jack Dorsey earlier this week. The handover reportedly leading to major changes for the social media platform. In fact, some of the changes are already occurring. Investigators, had criticized Dorsey for taking too much of a laid-back approach to business, but Agrawal is expected to do the opposite, including fast-forwarding Bitcoin payments and increasing targeted ads. The 37-year-old will be paid $1 million a year, plus bonuses and stock units valued at over $12 million. WABC News Time 5:45. Let's head over to the sports desk and Matt Sapienza.
Thank you, Juliet, and good morning, everybody. Here's what's going on in the wide world of sports. Kevin Durant carried Brooklyn all the way until James Johnson made two free throws with 2.2 seconds left to give the Nets a 112-110 victory over the New York Knicks last night in the NBA's own Subway Series. Harden scored 34 points in the game and declared a huge victory for the Nets. Julius Randle added 24 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists. Over to the NHL now. Sharks leading scorer Timo Meier scored twice. James Reimer made 32 saves, and San Jose defeated the New Jersey Devils 5-2. Noah Gregor, Jacob Middleton, and Erik Karlsson also scored for the Sharks, who have started their 5-game road trip at 2-0. Tomas Tatar and Jesper Bratt scored for the Devils, and Mackenzie Blackwood had 26 saves. And the game between the Islanders and those Philadelphia Flyers has been postponed until tomorrow night at 7:30. And that's your sports at 15 and 45. I'm Matt Sapienza. Good to be back on WABC's Early News.
Great to have you back. WABC News Time 5:47. Let's head over to Joe Nolan for traffic on the 7s.
Well, we've got ourselves a big old problem here on 287 in central New Jersey as you begin to travel southbound, coming down to I-78. There is an overturned tractor trailer. Now, this is on the outer roadway as you head southbound. So, again, just be aware of that. It's starting to build up and build up pretty quickly. A lot of truck traffic through there. Jersey Turnpike southbound, the inner roadway at 13, that off-ramp shut. Also, the Long Island Expressway coming inbound. There was an accident at Queens Boulevard, and we're slow to Main Street. A stall on the southbound side of I-95. The Connecticut Turnpike, right lane going to be out at exit 5, and alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations once again today are going to be in effect. This report of service of Indeed.com, hitting speed bumps in your hiring process. Streamline your route to hired with Indeed. The hiring platform makes it easy to attract, screen, interview candidates all in the same place. Find your next great hired at Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Joe.
Yep.
From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're looking at a high of 47 degrees today, and we could see some sun sneaking in there, thankfully. Tonight, we're looking at cloudy skies early, and then we'll have on and off rain showers overnight, probably after midnight, with a low of 41 degrees. Tomorrow, we're getting up into the 50s, 55 degrees for a high. And that's tomorrow. By Friday, we're going to get right back down into the mid-40s, 45 degrees for a high on Friday. But we will see some sun, so it might feel a little bit warmer if you hang out in the direct sun. On the weekend, it looks like we're just going to be pretty much hanging out in the low to mid-40s. We may get up a little bit higher than the mid-40s on Saturday, but Sunday is looking pretty chilly and 42 for a high. We will see some sun and some clouds, a mix of both. WABC News Time is 5:48. A new study found kids whose parents read to them the old-fashioned way are a lot more likely to engage mom and dad during story time. and that could be very beneficial to them. Researchers at the University of Michigan found parents talk to their kids more when the parent was reading from a real book and not, let's say, a tablet. The scientists blame animation, pop-ups, and ads, you know, distractions, basically. Experts say an engaged relationship with your child leads to better language, social skills, and academic success. And if you want the secret to making your kids eat their veggies, smile. Researchers say kids who watch adults smile and look happy when they're eating something tend to be a bit more keen to eat the food themselves. For example, kids shown an adult enthusiastically eating broccoli at an average ate an average of 11 grams of it themselves, while the kids who saw an adult with no expression eating broccoli only ate 5 grams. And young Americans are going to pot, literally. Researchers at Mass General in Boston found Americans under the age of 35 are 4 times more likely to smoke weed than people over 65. And folks between the ages of 35 and 64 are twice as likely to smoke than people over the age of 65. Breaking it down even more, Black and Native Americans, along with people who live in states with legal recreational marijuana laws, were also more likely to smoke. And those are some of your lighter headlines today. WABC News Time is 5:49. Sid Rosenberg is going to be joining us momentarily. Oh, he's here right now. Look at that, sitting right down in front of me, the famous Sid Rosenberg.
Unbelievable.
Yes. How was Portia yesterday?
She was really, really cool. Very nice.
Very nice.
Very, very nice.
No ego. We're
no
talking
ego.
About Portia from the formerly of the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Now,
right.
What is their show called?
Portia Family Matters.
Okay.
Sunday nights. But, of course, you meet them for 5 minutes at a Barnes & Noble. They're always going to come off nice.
Yeah.
I don't really know her. First time I ever met her. But she was very, very nice.
Good.
Cute girl.
Good.
Big book signing. People lined up outside in the snow and making a very big deal of it. But
in
she was very,
snow?
Very nice. Yeah, it was snowing yesterday afternoon here in the city.
Oh, was it?
A little bit. I mean, nothing, no real precipitation, but I mean, no real, I should say, inch count.
Yeah, just
but it was
flaking.
Snowing.
It was flaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. I liked it.
All right, what's happening on your show today?
Quiet show today in terms of guests. Only Peter King today. But so much to discuss, obviously, with the Chris Cuomo suspension, obviously, and LeBron James. Looks like he may have COVID and other news along the way. But in terms of guests, just Peter King.
All right. Well, not just. I mean, we love our Peter King.
Oh, Peter King's a big, big deal. No question.
We love me some Peter King.
We love some Peter King, yes.
Yeah, and he's always, you know, it's great because he has such a depth and breadth, especially when it comes to, you know, foreign policy and international relations. I love hearing him talk about that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right, because he's a guy that not only served Long Island probably for the better part of 4 decades, but also the homeland security stuff and the national stuff. So you're right. He can talk on national and local politics as well, and he's a super, super guy. We love him.
Now, do you think Chris Cuomo will ultimately be fired?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I think so.
This is how it goes. You get suspended indefinitely. It's happened to me 10 times.
Then again,
you never
Jeffrey
come back.
Toobin.
Well, that's true. You're right. But
Brian Williams.
That's true, too.
I mean,
you're right.
You never know. It's almost as though they keep him off for a while, maybe let the dust settle, and everybody kind of forgets about it and moves on to something else. And next thing you know, he's back there on primetime.
Well, unfortunately for him, the dust can't settle and you can't move on because of his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was just like an isolated Toobin situation. You can move on from
Good
that.
Point.
But Chris is always linked to his brother, who's a complete embarrassment. So at this point, I don't see how he gets back in the game. I don't.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
He's got a lot of money. He's a good-looking guy. He'll be fine.
Yeah, and he's got a nice new house that he keeps talking about out on the island.
There you go.
So
stay there with his $50 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Not so bad, Jules.
Oh, darn.
Not so bad.
I'd take it. All right, thanks, Sid.
Good to see
Good
you.
Seeing you. Bernie and Sid coming up at the top of the hour. WABC News Time is 5:52. We have some more local news to bring you. And actually, I mean, this really applies to everybody. The new Omicron variant was apparently in Europe earlier than we previously had thought. That is very interesting. It actually may not have originated in South Africa at all, according to officials in the Netherlands. Apparently, some people in the Netherlands, they went back into the mid-November time, about November 14th, and they did some testing on samples, and they found that, yes, it was the Omicron variant there. So far, the new variant super strain, as it's being called, has popped up in at least 20 countries. Officials say it's only a matter of time before we detect it here in the United States. Meantime, if you are planning on heading to Europe or South America or even to the next state, you better listen up. The World Health Organization is warning certain Americans to avoid traveling for the time being. The announcement Tuesday directed at at-risk groups, including people over the age of 60, actually 60 and over, and those with pre-existing health conditions. There is some positive news, though, and this is what we need. It's about that COVID pill that we keep telling you about. An FDA panel of U.S. medical experts Tuesday gave the A-OK for the Merck pill. So if the FDA, the whole FDA agency, approves it, it would be the first pill that infected patients could take home to treat the virus. But here's the thing. It was actually a narrow vote of about 13 to 10, but the panel ruled that the benefits of the medication outweigh the risks. And there are risks, including possible birth defects in pregnant women. So it would be recommended to at-risk adults with mild to moderate COVID, including older people and people who suffer from things like asthma and obesity, but not to pregnant women and not to women of childbearing age, apparently. And most of the experts agree it should not be used by vaccinated patients either. The FDA is expected to make its decision on this pill by the end of the year. And a federal judge in Louisiana has issued a nationwide preliminary injunction today against the vaccine mandate for healthcare workers. The ruling blocks an emergency regulation by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services that required vaccines for nearly every full and part-time employee and volunteers and contractors. Louisiana was joined in the lawsuit by attorneys general in 13 other states. WABC News Time is 5:54. We have traffic and weather coming up momentarily, but it was day three in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. Yesterday, Jeffrey Epstein's former pilot, his jet pilot, took the stand. Larry Vysotsky is his name. He worked for the billionaire for about 30 years. Vysotsky says the cockpit door was always shut, and he claims he never saw any sexual activity on the flights, and he, quote, most certainly did not see any sexual activity with underage girls. In fact, the pilot said he never actually noticed any girls who looked younger than 20 years old. And he says the relationship between Maxwell and Epstein was more personal than business. Experts say the defense will continue to paint the duo's victims as money-grubbing actresses. Vysotsky, by the way, also riveting the jury with tales of some of the famous faces who joined Epstein on various trips over the years, including former presidents Bill Clinton and Donald Trump, actor Kevin Spacey, comedian Chris Tucker, and Prince Andrew of Great Britain. Also, the first victim taking the stand, she's only known by the name Jane. She says she was 14 when she was brought into the alleged pedophile's realm and says Ghislaine Maxwell not only orchestrated her meetings, as you can say, with Epstein, but Maxwell partook in some of the abuse herself at times, instructing Jane on how Epstein likes to be touched. The jury reportedly rapped during the testimony. WABC News Time is 5:56. Let's head over to Traffic on the Sevens with Joe Nolan. Hey, Joseph.
Well, Juliet, if you're traveling southbound on 287 in central New Jersey, we got a big old problem here just south of 78. An overturned tractor trailer. The right lane is out on the outer roadway between exits 21 and 17. So as you head down that direction, if it's there for too much longer, we're going to have a problem. So southbound 287, overturned tractor trailer, right lane out just below 78. If you're on the southbound turnpike, the inner roadway at exit 13, that off-ramp is closed with an accident. And then I-95, the Connecticut Turnpike up at exit 5, look for a crash there. Now, mass transit, everybody running on or close, and alternate side of the street parking rules are in effect. The support of service of Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield. Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield, Heart of America, helping schools across the country increase their access to healthy food. Learn more, empireblue.com/NYLiberty. Traffic on the Sevens. I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. Mm-hmm. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're going to have a mix of sun and clouds today with highs in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, we're going to get up to 55 degrees, but not before we have some rain tonight. It'll probably start more like the overnight hours, and it'll be pretty steady. But again, tomorrow, 55 degrees with cloudy skies. And then we jump back down into the mid-40s, about 45 degrees for a high on Friday. As we head into the weekend, the temperatures will probably stay right around that point, that 45 degree, maybe a little bit cooler, maybe a little bit warmer, but nothing into the 50s. And we may see a stray shower here or there. And just wanted to let everybody know, this is a big day. It is time for the annual Rockefeller Christmas tree lighting. The festivities start at 7 p.m. right there. Well, in Rockefeller Plaza, they'll last until about 10 p.m. You can actually see the tree lighting in person. All you have to do is just head over there to Rockefeller Plaza, a.k.a. 30 Rock, right there, you know, between 5th and 6th Avenues in Midtown Manhattan. Mayor Bill de Blasio, who is the lame duck, he is on his way out. He actually said that pedestrian space will be temporarily expanded on the streets around Rock Center and Radio City Music Hall. Crowds are expected to be some big crowds. I'll put it that way. The largest in the city since the start of the pandemic, and officials are urging people to use public transportation. They're also urging people to wear masks. Thanks to this COVID variant, this new super strain. It is going to be a lovely event, I'm sure. And again, it starts at 7 p.m. tonight, going to 10 p.m. And it is 5:59. Wow, look at that. Time flies when you're having fun. I'll see you guys actually back here on Tuesday. I'm heading to London to frolic over there for the next few days for the long weekend. I'm going to see my favorite band, Enter Shikari. But I will be back here on Tuesday. And hope you guys have a wonderful week, rest of the week, and a wonderful weekend. And I'll see you guys on Tuesday.